Matt, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. You just said hello, how are you? And I was like, I could listen to your voice, read an audio, but that's why we're here, actually. I want to talk to you about your
fiction or nonfiction.
All of the above.
Multiple characters, protagonists and antagonists.
You know what you're doing. I love this. Okay, cool. So let's start. Just give me sort of an idea of who is Kat, what's your life, and then we'll sort of dive into how you got into this magic community.
Sure. So I am about to turn 40 this year, and this will be my fifth year of marriage to my husband, who is a magician and comedian, and his name is George G. We met 7 years ago. I've lived my whole life basically on the Jersey Shore, so I'm a New Jersey girl. And he was living in Tom's River at the time we connected on OkCupid. Yes. And also at the time I was a editor for a local news site. And the industry being what it is, I now work in the veteran community for a nonprofit that focuses on homelessness in veterans. And I'm their outreach representative for a significant part of New Jersey.
And exactly what do you do for the nonprofit? Like, I know you said you did editing. Mm-hmm.
Right. So from my time in like public relations and publicity and organizing events and volunteering, that led to a lot of jobs in nonprofits that had those type of roles. And then based on all of that, and we are a veteran household, I found a great organization called Community Hope. And as their outreach representative, I go to where veterans are or where homeless are, and I see if they qualify for our assistance. That's my basic job. So out in the community, working remotely, that lends itself to a lot of amazing experiences, and I'm very grateful for. Among them, being able to travel often with my husband when he has gigs or wants to go to conventions or other people's lectures and shows and things like that. So that's me.
Amazing. So what was your very first magic convention? Because now, so you mentioned George.
Yes.
What was the point where George went, I want to now share with you?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because I actually had dated a magician before George, and it wasn't a very good relationship.
Oh,
right? So.
I want to know everything.
So when that relationship deteriorated, and I said, well, let me try out this OkCupid thing and see how the field is going. I had a wonderful time dating and going on dates with a lot of different people, but eventually George showed up as a result, and it said prominently in his online dating profile that he was a magician. And I said, wow, this is the worst idea imaginable. I've already done that. But I'm the type of absurdist that I want to run to the fire, to the bad idea. And I said, well, there's only one way to really find out if it's a bad idea. And that bad idea turned out to be my future husband.
That's so cool.
So to answer your question, though, I had gone to mostly regional conventions like Bob Little Super Sunday outside Philadelphia. And I remember that my boyfriend at the time was bringing some of his fellow magicians and their girlfriends. And they were excited about this auction that happens. And I had never experienced sort of the what happens as part of magic to make it magical, the gimmicks and things like that. So I was getting my first like big reveal behind the curtain as to how these things worked. So that was perhaps the most exciting, besides the auction, where I found it incredible that people were buying in this format, as opposed to just vendors or through a website or through like a catalog, that people were there sort of saying, here's a lot of this. And I just remember being like, wow, this is incredible. Like, I could buy something. Like, I could raise my hand in the auction. And that was my first exposure to, like, what it means to be a magician beyond what I'm seeing on stage or in, you know, the culture of how magicians are performing and things like that. So it was my first behind the scenes thing of it all. Yeah.
So did you go to a lot of magic club meetings?
Not at that time, but I certainly do with George, where I'm often asked for when I'm not there and he's there. It's like, oh, how's Kat doing? Where's Kat tonight? Where's she? So that happens a lot where it's like, we'll go together to the magic club, especially if there's something that George presents as could be useful to me. Usually it's something about selling yourself where he's like, you know, this is good for everybody because everybody has to sell themselves.
Right.
Or I help, of course, find him clients in my role as that part of the biz. So he often kind of ropes me in with these promises, and then I'll end up going, it'll be like, no, it'll be like how to jazz up a trick.
Got you.
you know, in a way that's fresh and exciting is, you know, how to make your tricks less tired, which is not a different form of marketing yourself. And I'll just be like, why am I here? So there's a lot of like lectures and clubs that I'm often accompanying him because I forget how boring these things can be for a spouse.
Yeah, that's so true. Okay, so cool. I want to get back to that in a hot second. Mm-hmm. Did you, so your previous relationship with this magician,
yes.
How much of the relationship's disaster was because he was a magician?
Well, right? So that's certainly, I guess his approach was more like this could be used in a pickup style. And that was kind of like a way of selling himself. Mm. And that was interesting at first, but it quickly showed that there needed to be something beyond that because you don't just date someone that's performing for you all the time. You want to have a meaningful relationship, you'd hope, with someone that isn't just performing all the time, whether it be their performative, like, personality or they're actually performing tricks. Mm-hmm. So on several of the first dates that I went on with George, you know, the early dating, he hadn't shown me any tricks and I got to know him. So it wasn't like, okay, where's these tricks? When are these tricks coming out? It was more, oh, I'm getting to know him. Mm-hmm. So that was a big compare and contrast. Yeah.
So, did this previous, like this guy, mm-hmm. So he used magic to pick you?
Yeah, it was definitely like first date and we're at a mm-hmm. diner and, you know, the salt shaker through the table and the and the sugar packet tricks, all that shit.
These are the things he chose.
Yeah, this is the big wow. This is the big wow.
And he went so, with the salt shaker.
And innocent me.
Jeez. Okay, great. So,
You know, lay people probably mm-hmm. have to deal with that a lot if that's the approach that the courtier has in trying to get a date. They're, you know, that used to be a whole thing, a whole like series of videos you could buy on late night television, how to use magic to pick up women. So mm-hmm. I guess he had multiple subscriptions to that or something. But you know that, yeah, that's obviously very outdated now and gets old fast mm-hmm. where you want to learn about the person you're with to have a meaningful relationship with them. So
amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Enough about that. I hope he listens. Okay. So then, George, uh-huh. here you are.
Yep.
What's the first magic event you attend now with your now husband?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm trying to think. Yes, I think it was a regional convention called Magicians of Alliance of Eastern States, mm-hmm. which is held, again, outside the Philadelphia area in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And I think at the time my husband was the president. I mean, then he wasn't my husband, but at that moment he was the president of MAES. And it was such a grander scale. It was multiple days. And I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is big. This is going to be more exciting. It's not just like hours of lecture. There's like shows, multiple shows every day of the convention. And it just seemed presented as a big like family atmosphere, like a magician family, performing family. So I was like, that's cool. And I think he happened to win an award that year too. So I was like, wow, this guy's like impressive.
I love that so much. Okay, great.
But I definitely felt like a sense of pride being there, even though it was early in our relationship. I was like, oh, this is cool. This is how people are nice to each other when they're, you know, then they're magicians and such, you know. So it was a very nice atmosphere. So awesome. Go check out that convention. It was a lot of fun. Always is.
It is a great convention. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. So, yes.
Well, the other thing about it being multiple days and being shows and lectures every day is that I'm kind of like, it's my first year. Someone's like, who's this girl? You know, so I got picked a lot and I still often do, even if it's just going to see a club lecture and there's any of the volunteer from the audience. You mm-hmm. doesn't matter if I sit in the back, front, middle. And my husband doesn't too aggressively volunteer me, even though he seems to think I'm a very good volunteer with the energy I bring and whatnot. But I'm often asked to volunteer and I kind of have to plan for that. If I really have to hide, like put a hoodie over my head if I really don't want to participate at all. But it's often kind of like, oh, here we go again sometimes. Yeah. But that was the first time that I had it kind of being like, oh, I'm going up there again. Okay, this is exciting. So that was my MAES first year experience.
Yeah. When did you get sick of being picked on to volunteer?
You know what? When, you know, there's a lot of tricks that a lot of people do because they're classics.
Yeah.
and realizing that I wasn't going to be impressed by what was happening because I had seen it or been a volunteer for it for these various people throughout whatever time span it was. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is the egg bag. And I kind of get what's going on. Now I'm faking it. You know, I'm going to bring my energy. But unless they're doing it in a very unique way or with some new patter that's interesting, exciting, surprising, funny, then it's quite formulaic sometimes. So that often set in if it's something that is obvious, like, okay, I get it. It's an orange. I know where it's a lemon. I know where it's going.
It's so accurate.
But there's still plenty of great things. I can remember back at MAS, I think that was 3 years ago, where it was the Montreal Quebecans, where I was on stage and they just had such an incredible presentation of kind of like, is this your card? Mm. Where it was like dancing and all this stuff. And I was like, I know what's happening, but this is so much fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone has that opportunity to still amaze any volunteer that's coming up, even if it's a frequent volunteer.
Mm.
But for me, there have been those moments where I'm like, egg bag, got it.
Yeah, exactly.
But my two fingers here.
Yeah, no, I'm ready. Here we go. Pinchers ready. Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever just wanted to say, when someone goes, come on up, just say, no.
Well, there have been some times where I think the magician has definitely regretted it, where I've been like, I had more energy than they did, or I was like, maybe had a zinger. I can kind of lay in with the zinger sometimes. And then I think about it and I was like, oh, that made me an asshole. But it was, because I have such a wink about it, you know, like I can kind of tell what's going on. I seem to remember one time where there was kind of like a money presentation where I was like, and look, you've just made $2. Mm. And I think I said something like, hey, I've made more than some of the magicians in the room doing this. And I was like, oh, that's really mean. He probably really regrets calling me up.
That's great.
You know, it came, looking back, I was like, oh, that was rough. That maybe I might have been right for the jugular with that. But for the most part, they're happy that I'm there. I'm helping. I realize how much they're putting into it. And besides their preparation and their skill, there's all the people that are watching. So even if it's kind of like, you know, dragging a bit or they're fumbling a bit, like I can add some jocularity as appropriate as I can think of. So I take it kind of seriously. It's almost like a smush between being a volunteer and being an assistant, where because I know a lot of these behind the scene things, I'm not truly working in a layman capacity. I kind of can see where it's going because it's been done before or because I understand how much is going on behind the scenes.
We've had sort of in different episodes talking about the idea of when I get called up, I now say no because I don't want to.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't want to be
right.
That person. I don't like that. I don't like doing that. And also from the other side, if somebody says no, you just
respect
okay,
that.
No worries
yep.
because I understand your position.
Right.
I also don't want to go up.
Yeah.
I don't know why you don't want to go up, but it doesn't matter. You said no. And
yeah.
Over it.
Yeah.
So I always question, like, as someone who always gets picked, is there
right.
ever a point where you just want to go?
I mean, there certainly has been times where if I've been sitting next to George, and I'll reinforce that with him, like, no, like maybe sometimes I wonder too if he like prearranges things, you know, like, oh, am I really going up because he knows that I'm, you know, looking cute in my dress tonight or something like that. So I'll often say, nope, not this one, or no, please, they're not even, I'm hiding right now. So I kind of get him to kind of muscle up that in case, like he'll just, you know, give him a shake too, like not that, but I don't have a problem. I've never have been asked where I was like, nope, I've never had, you know, a time where I was like, I don't really want to go up there. Screw you, buddy. I've never had that where the ask actually happened. So he's been like, oh, they're probably going to ask me. I don't want to. Nope, George. And I don't get asked.
Oh,
so
great.
Maybe I just put it out there in the universe and they pick up on it that I'm mean mugging or something and they don't even venture near me. But for the most part, I think every time I've been asked to volunteer, I go up and I do the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're also just, you're doing such a service, I think, because I also feel this being a woman and I'm not well known or anything. So going, being called up. And then doing it is just, you're like, oh, is it are there going to be two SpongeBobs in the movie? You know, just like you said with the egg bag. It's like,
right.
Okay. Wow. Oh my gosh. So you're like, I feel like I should do something nice. Mm-hmm. Which then in the opposite way is that if I were to call up a magician, I would hope that they would also do the same thing.
Yeah.
Because I might not know that they're a magician and I want them to sit there and scrutinize it. And usually I've been pretty lucky. A couple of fuddy-duddies, but that's really nice of you to be like,
I think sometimes there's probably more risk at picking someone who truly doesn't know what's going on. Like they might feel like apprehension is something. Are they going to get made fun of? Are they, you know, how do I look up here? What do? I can't see anybody because of lights. You know, am I going to trip when I get on stage? All those things that might run through the head of someone that isn't involved in the same way that we are.
Yeah. That's great. When you've been on stage, because I think this is also mm-hmm. an interesting perspective, has anything happened that you've been like, oh, magicians are creepy? Or like, you know what I mean?
Like, you know what? I was like, oh, you know, I guess I think my husband set this up, but there was one year where MAS was happening and George and I had just gotten engaged. And I said, oh, I have a ring now. That means I'm vulnerable to all of the ring tricks.
Oh, no, you're right.
Okay, here we go. I don't wear watches. So I know I'm not going to pick for the watch tricks, but here I am, a woman wearing a ring. And I was actually probably volunteered a bit. No, okay. I know George says he from off mic that he didn't volunteer me, but I thought he might have. But here I am getting asked to use my ring, and I was just like, I don't really want to. What do I do? Well, I know it's going to come back. Or do I? Because I don't perform these tricks. So I might have a very strong sense of what's happening, but it's going to be off my finger. And I don't particularly like that. And I guess that's how it feels when you are a woman that has a ring and you are at a magic show. So that is one explicit time where I was like, can I sit back there? Can you give me right now? But, you know, I kind of was played it off comedically, even though inside I was like, I just got this like within a month. This is don't do it. choose someone else.
That's such an interesting perspective.
Yeah.
There are so many ring tricks and watch tricks and mm-hmm. all that. It's like you don't even think about mm-mm. how does that person feel in that moment. Are they worried?
Right.
Or
do they I did feel, and I was surprised that I was going to be worried. I was surprised.
Yeah. But it's your ring. Like,
yeah. I was like, I don't really want to take this on.
Yeah.
I know you know I have one, and I know I happen to be relatively close enough to the stage that you spotted me.
Oh, yeah.
But I really like wearing it. And it was like the first time I took it off besides like, you know, washing my hands or showering or something like that. So it just felt like particularly vulnerable. And I think that is a unique thing that happened where to answer your question about what was like an uncomfortable time where you're up there and you're like, this is lame. Yeah. And then the other time, I think George and myself got called up as a couple. And it was one of those, I don't even know what it said. I couldn't even tell you what the trick was because it was kind of one of those things that happened behind you and everyone's laughing. And you just kind of have to be like, oh, you know, that's so funny. Yes, I don't know what's happening. Oh, my goodness. Goodness gracious. But that was definitely a time where I was like, you know, screw this. I want to know what it says.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you know, I know they only have 5 minutes to do this trick and this part of whatever it was. So I'll just sit through this and I hope that whatever it is going well.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you if it said, you know, because it was like a husband and wife type of trick, what it says that was so comical.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't really want to know.
That's probably the greatest
thing to do. I don't really want to know.
So earlier you said
mm-hmm.
things sometimes get pretty boring.
Yes. I'm sorry I'm laughing so hard at all this.
It's making me really happy.
This is going to be a podcast, Kat and her many laughs.
I love it. I'm going to splice it into other things.
It's going to be a new ringtone.
Yeah, it'll be a ringtone. We're going to use it as our Laugh Track Brother episodes.
Yep.
Absolutely. It's just too happy.
Well, I mean, it's kind of the whole thing is kind of absurd when you look back at it. So that's my reaction to most things is that they're funny because this is absurd. So whether it be just mundane life, it can be quite absurd and that makes it funny. or you're watching someone juggle things that don't make any sense. You know, obviously that has its own excitement and that makes it funny and absurd. So the spectrum of absurdity that I laugh at is quite a wide spectrum, mm-hmm. including when things have gotten boring. So I don't want to disparage people that do like magic lectures. They're, of course, very valuable. Probably because they cost so much to get in and buy lecture notes. But for someone such as myself who might be going because it might be a location where afterwards or before my husband and I are going out to dinner or drinks or just supporting a friend who happens to be lecturing or because it was mysteriously pitched as something that might be of interest to me and falls flat, I often find magic lectures to be incredibly boring, as you might expect from a layman who doesn't quite understand why we're watching someone move their thumb for 20 minutes to explain a move. I'm like, wee, I don't care. Whoopity-doo. So I'm sure it's educational for the folks that are learning those things, but I am not. I don't have any interest in learning any of those things. Often I do end up learning them because I'm watching them often, or George is revealing how a trick works to me when he's practicing and showing me and I'm giving him some feedback. But lectures are very, very dull. So if you spot me at a lecture, a valued listener, come up to me and say, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I love that. Just like a constant apology.
I'm sorry. Usually it's how much longer is this going to be? There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Why aren't there better snacks?
That's important. Snacks are very
valuable. They sustain your energy.
I don't care like about anything. I judge now.
Right.
Like, what are the snacks and drinks?
Yeah, snack level has got to be there.
Like spirit, you get nothing in the world. Yep, I understand you. So magic lectures are boring.
Yes.
Obviously, they're all method, right? So like...
Mm-hmm. For the most part, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like sometimes magic lecture is really great for me because that's what I do, right? It's mm-hmm. like I want to learn the method and the move and whatever.
Yeah.
So you're coming from a slightly different perspective than mm-hmm. I would. What do you think would make a magic lecture more interesting, but across the board? So not necessarily like a spousal workshop.
Right.
But if you wanted to go to a magic lecture, what would be the way that a magic lecture would actually be entertaining for you and the magicians in the room?
So it would have to appeal to something that I like to watch, like maybe a particular type of comedy that I like where someone's showing how they escalate some moves into more like a madcap type of style. I seem to like that sort of frenetic energy where things are, how to make things go wrong purposely for comedic effect. So I might say that if it was a lecture on comedy, I feel like that would be more interesting than simply here's how I do this trick type lecture, because it's more about the theory of building the audience in an entertainment with like a focus on not just here's my entertaining trick, but here's how I'm elevating it into something that is more than just the trick.
Great.
That always seems to be very interesting to me. And then anything that's business related, I often go just to help out George as someone who often is the organizer to those types of things as part of the business. So anything that is involved in building a business, I'm not sure that speaks across the board, but that's a tough question to answer. Like what universally could be interesting as a magic lecture? I don't know. There is an answer to that. I think it's going to be epic snacks. You'd have to have epic snacks.
Great. Good to know.
That is the number one rule of a lecture valuable to anyone is epic snacks.
Do you enjoy learning the method behind magic?
Often what I like is when I didn't realize that that's what people were doing. Like after the fact, it'll be, you know, maybe it'll be like a routine and there'll be a lot of things one after the other. And then I'll say, oh, he threw in that thing that I recognize how it's done. But I didn't know that up front. I didn't know that. But there it was, and I didn't expect it. And that's delightful to me. Or I'm seeing something, like maybe someone escape out of a straitjacket, right? Like you've probably seen this ad nauseum, or linking rings would be another thing where things have an energy that like, oh, well, I've never seen it done that way. So either of those two things where I'm not even realizing that I know what they're doing only after the fact.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah, wow, I didn't expect that. That's the way that would happen. Or, oh, I don't know how that's done would be the third example.
Great.
Those three ways become interesting.
Have you been to a magic lecture that's hands-on, where like everybody is working on a thing together, you know, learning the move?
Yeah, especially if it's something that everyone has, like a deck of cards, but I'm not bringing one.
Yeah, that's
good point. So I'll just be like, great. Look at all these people doing this particular cut or whatever lift. You know, I'm not going to practice with you guys. Sorry. I'm going to keep eating the snacks or waiting for this to end.
Waiting for this to end.
Often I go to these events clearly for the existential crisis. Why am I here?
My next question was going to be, because what I would imagine, here's my thought process. So you can understand where I'm going with this question.
Right.
Is
why would someone torture their partner?
Yeah, that's a bit of what I'm saying. Also a little bit like, okay, so I lecture sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I make my lecture more interesting to even the spouses?
Right.
So a while ago, I tried to do this by making it very hands-on. So I hand out like beer bottle caps and then walk around the room and try to make sure. So I'm curious and like, is that what would be interesting? Is it really just the snacks? Or like, if it's not any of the above, why do you keep going?
It might be that it's someone that I've seen that I really like their energy or someone that I feel has like one time I'll give a great example. I saw Rocco give a lecture. And if you've ever seen him perform, you know that he has a lot of things up his sleeve. Is that something that we're going to edit out?
Nope, everybody knows.
But he revealed what was the ultimate sleeving device.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is amazing. It's the middle finger. Everyone's flipping the bird right now. This is great. This is hilarious.
Yes.
And I said, I got to take a picture about what I learned, me and Rocco. So I'm taking this picture and I look very overjoyed. So
everyone can see what I'm saying right now is for the past 30 seconds, you've just had this middle finger.
Yeah, it's just so been hilarious. Flipping the bird all triumphantly, like I know something magical.
That's fun. Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah, that was definitely a good moment. No, I don't want to reveal that. No, I don't want to talk about it.
So there are
have more middle fingers in your lecture.
Okay, great. That's it. Have snacks. More middle fingers. Got it.
Yep.
that is the new formula for a good magic lecture. I love it. Okay, cool. So then that's good. So then like things about maybe performance-based things. Like,
yeah.
Like summarizing.
History is also, know, history will transcend whether you're learning the thing that is being explained historically or you're just appreciation for the history of something.
Different.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So yesterday – George came up to me, am I right on saying yesterday, and was like, I have to tell you about my wife's Facebook page.
That's right.
And that sparked this entire conversation. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm not. I'm overjoyed.
It's been wonderful.
Because this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, first of all, what is Abracablabra? We will link to this page in
Thank
show
you.
Notes.
Thank you.
Tell us about it.
Sure. At the moment, it is simply a Facebook page. I might have a couple dozen followers to it, but it's a place where I kind of deposit things that I thought might be of interest to the general magic spouse of it all, where I might not want to be friends with every, or they might not know how to find me. Let's create a Facebook page that presumably would get more shares than if I kept it on my private Facebook page. So it would be a place where I could sort of drop some observations about what it's like for me being at these magical things or living with a magician, being married to one. There's been a couple things that I've been like, this only happens to me because I'm married to a magician. Like I might be cleaning up the kitchen table and I'll see like a coin. And I will be like, I don't know if this goes in the piggy bank or if this is something incredible. And it often happens with little pieces of string where I don't know if they're flash string or if it's garbage. I have no idea. Is this flash paper or is this garbage? Well, Sharpies. I'm just terrorized by these things that are hanging around my house. Are they magical or not? I was like, how do I say that so other magicians, their spouses, their girlfriends, boyfriends, their families can appreciate this. How can I do this service to the world. Well, here we are with the Facebook page. So I was like, oh, you know, I remember the Simpsons episode where they're riffing on the Magic Castle, but I think it's called the Magic Palace in the Simpsons episode. And Diablo is performing. And the special for the evening is the Great Linguini for $5.99. And it was quite comical then, way back when it aired. And looking back at it, I'd be like, wow, I'm kind of like Marge. I'm kind of drunk at the magic show sometimes. And she delivers this line about how the magician is talking too much and abracablabra, and it gets big laughs. And I said, wow, that's kind of like me when I steal the show. Because there's been times where I inadvertently added to the atmosphere of even George's shows. He's got one of these tricks where which sock is the knife in. And I make some joke about this is the only time he's ever picked up his socks. You know, this sort of ripping, kind of impromptu. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm March. So we got to call it abracababra. But how do I spell that? And that took a moment to figure out, too.
This was one of my favorite little posts you made. Mm-hmm. It says, while stuck manning a vending table without my husband, I believe it is the metal bar that you attach locked to you as part of an escape routine. You can also hit someone with it.
Yeah, I don't really know what people... I get stuck at the tables often. I get stuck in places and I have to kind of fumble my way through. Because I often don't know, even if it might be very obvious, you know, here is a, it says it right on it. I will have no idea how to really explain what this is. Mm-hmm. I will just really fumble through it. So I kind of say, you know, I think this is what it is, but I often am frustrated by this task and I'll throw in something that is perhaps very functional. Like you can also just hit somebody with it. Yeah. Well, you know, because some things appear to be like jewelry or things. So, you know, I'll say, and it's also, you know, you can also play pinochle with it or something. So whatever the case, but you can read it. Oh, it's a book. You read it. You know, so what is this book about? Well, maybe you should read it. So, you know, I have a definite sarcastic turn and I like to deliver things in a deadpan way. So all of this presents an opportunity to do that. Thankfully, I guess I'm like, helps keep me sane is throw it in the zingers, because it's kind of really is absurd when you think about it, you know.
Is there, because I know this is, it's a slightly newer Facebook page,
and so just like 2 years old, maybe a year.
I'm looking at it, it looks like you started it actually May of 2019.
Oh, okay.
So
wow,
unless something happened before then.
Less than a year.
2019. Congratulations.
Oh, that's around my birthday, so I must have felt like now's the time. May 18th.
Yeah.
14th. All right.
Well,
fellow Taurus. Yep.
We were born.
So one in 300. The chance.
What a day. So have you had many other spouses?
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. In fact, when I threatened to make this page, a lot of people were like, this is awesome. I can't wait to invite my other spouse friends or girlfriend boyfriends to it. And there was one that a friend posted where it was a math equation that was in their child's homework, and elementary math. And it was learning how to add and subtract. And it was, she also performs, and the child, very young, has seen her perform. So it was like a word problem where Johnny has 10 pennies between both of his hands. And you see that there's two in this hand and there's a little pitcher, and the other hand is closed. How many pennies are in the other hand is the equation. It's like, there's no way to answer this. There's no way. No one will ever know. Because we are magicians and they're loved ones. So we have no idea how many coins are actually there. And I thought this was funny. And other people did it. It got shared on like some of the other Facebook groups. And I happened to get a couple more followers and engagement that way. But it was just people looking out for things that can riff on being a magician's wife or spouse or, you know, just magic in general. So as there's main pages for everything, I'm a member of some of the ones that are for magicians. Yep. Yeah, they're often over my head, but there's some that are about a relationship and or, you know, overzealousness of the magician and trying to present to someone that's like, I don't care.
I haven't actually done an official search. Have you found that there are other Facebook groups or groups in general for spouses?
I haven't looked. I should.
That'd be interesting.
I should. But then they might be serious.
Yeah, it might be more angry.
Like, yeah.
Again, yeah. This is funny,
support
though.
Group.
Yes, more of a support group as opposed to a funny thing.
Like, right.
Great.
Well, I guess we need that.
That is, I mean, don't we? Certainly.
But I'll tell you, I don't mean to kind of disparage my kindred folk and the fellow magician spouse, but some of them, I don't know who they are. I never see them, right? The magician doesn't bring them around, or they don't have an eagerness to go like perhaps I do. They are at home. And often the magician will approach George or myself and say, it's so nice that your wife is here. That's so nice that she supports you. And it's more of a passive aggressive comment on their part,
yeah,
that they're really just kind of wishing, yeah, that their spouse would be there, or that maybe they had that relationship once, but she just doesn't want to come, or he just doesn't want to come.
Sure.
Right. But they're recognizing that there's a value in that, where I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, I've been with my partner for now 6 years,
mm-hmm,
and we're both entertainers. You know, I met him in magic, but he does more comedy and acting stuff. And I have gotten to the point where I never want to watch sketch comedy again,
right,
in my life. But I also watched it once a week for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm over it. So sometimes I'm like,
yeah,
can you not go to the show,
right,
tonight? Love you.
Yeah, I'm just going to Netflix it.
Yeah. Do you ever feel that way where you're just like, I don't want to go to the magic show.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to the
magic
show.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes, definitely.
I mean, you're like a hero already because you're here all the time. But you're still like,
oh,
I,
yeah,
need a break from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, back to kind of what we were talking about before is when I have been convinced or I have an initial interest in going to a lecture and then I go to it, I often say, why? God damn it, I forgot. I'm never supposed to go to these. Like, I hate these. Why did I forget again that I hate these so much? So I guess it's just I keep forgetting. I'm hopeful. I have a hope about it.
Yeah.
Maybe not this one, not this time. Mm-hmm. But often it has an hour block where I'm like, I'm just going to scroll through my phone right now.
Yeah.
Discreetly in the back.
Yeah. Great.
Or find the snacks or whatever.
Find the snacks. There it is. What kind of things do you enjoy going to? What events do you enjoy going to at a convention?
So definitely the evening shows, or if there's like an afternoon show, the contests are often pretty exciting, I think, even if they're not going well, like someone fumbles through something. I always find them to be great places, you know, just because it's for a performance aspect. The camaraderie, those moments where there might be like an after party or a networking event or like a lounge or like a breakfast together or like a pre-show dinner, cocktail hour, what those things, obviously fun. And just getting to talk to people in a way outside of, hey, we're all here because magic.
Yeah.
Whenever those present themselves are always great.
Yeah.
I will tell you though, yeah, that I can't remember when George showed me, but there was some like historic program of old MAS or some other convention. And it was describing how there was these activities for spouses. And it was mostly like a little field trip to go to like the shopping mall,
yes,
or something like that. And I was like, that is totally not interesting to me. I could just hop in a car and go to a shopping mall at any point. Like, it's that like, wee.
Yeah.
Why do we have to all go to, you know, this diner with all the other spouses? But I guess those events aren't part of the convention, maybe because there wasn't a demand for them anymore because the spouses weren't coming, or people recognized that they didn't have to have an outing that involved shopping. They could maybe incorporate some other activities that might be of interest to them, like an afternoon show or whatever. So there was, oh, okay, this was, I'm being told off mic, this is the SAM National 1976 in Philadelphia. So I guess there was probably like museum trips and things like that that
there
they could have gone
were.
To. But it seems like you're, I don't know, like I just couldn't understand that. Like I'm all in, I'm paying a registration fee, I'm going to the convention, right? And I'm going to find out the things that interest me, same as any conventioneer would.
Right.
Right. So why do I have to have something that's going to take me away from the convention,
yeah,
just because of the setting I'm on with other spouses and like a field trip? Like it's just kind of, I thought was a stupid, hey, anyone's allowed to value those things. I'm sure magicians themselves would have loved to have gone to these,
yeah,
settings too, of course.
Sure.
But it just seems very like, oh, we got to give something for them, yes, women to do.
Well, so I remember coming to the SAM convention as a kid and there were spouses.
Really?
So I'm looking to see like, I wonder if there's one this
week. No.
I've seen one, so that's great.
Yeah, I think it's good. They can focus their money on getting more entertainers and things that actually build the convention.
It's like getting a bus.
Right.
I had a good, I had a really funny observation this morning at an event, which will remain unnamed at the moment, where I just kind of looked around and there were some like thank yous thrown out by some important people and all that. And I just kept listening and it was like, this is a fascinating thing, isn't it? Because all of the women are being thanked for organizing the food and the chairs.
Right.
Cleaning up after everyone.
Yeah.
All of the men are making speeches.
Mm-hmm.
So like, this is an interesting
one. Yes. Yep.
Because there are some women in this room that would be not me, but other women that maybe should have gotten up and said a thing, but instead they were being thanked.
Yeah, their contributions are greater than their ability to make sure the tray is in the right spot.
Yes.
They've done amazing things for the world of magic.
Yep.
But let me thank you for this. Right. Yeah. Yes.
And
yes.
Literally, like, that woman is supporting the fact that you are running for some office thing and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, thank you for this.
Yes. Place. Yes. Well, as I mentioned in my background, I was an editor for a local news site, and I still do freelance and attend a lot of events where elected officials are thanking people. Yeah. And in this particular case, it was... this elected official had pontificated so much on the very long list of things that he wanted to thank. And another elected official sitting on the dais slid him a piece of paper and it said on there, "Don't forget to thank your wife." And this became like a roaring gag throughout the entire event where everyone had to make sure. And I'm definitely going to make sure I thank my wife who's there in the front row. And I was just like, can we just get over this? It was just like, wow. Okay. Like, hey, you know, last year I forgot to thank my wife and I was really in hot water and all these sort of old timey things that I guess are what old timey people still say. But I was like, okay, what is the woman elected official going to say? You know, she has a husband. Is she going to remember to thank her husband? Someone going to slip her a note? You know, those types of things. So it is very interesting from a woman, female point of view, a spouse point of view to hear that role of the spouse for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't say like you as Kat are like, that's not my role.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a bitch. Like, you know, that's not what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'll help in any way. Yeah.
It's also fine. Like, there are women and also men, specifically speaking in this situation, that's what they want to do.
Of course.
They want to host and they want to be.
Yes.
That's 100% fine. What gets me is that it's like, okay, well, you stay in the back room.
Right.
Handling that. And the
men you're invisible, essentially. Yeah.
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 Right.
I had a good laugh about that. Do you also like cigars and whiskey?
Yeah. That's some epic snacks right there. That's what you have to do. More next cigars and whiskey.
Yeah, super. Not cigars, but whiskey.
Yeah,
we're going to have a great
sounds
time.
Great.
I'm in. What is the general discussion like amongst spouses? I'm like,
so when I actually encounter one, right? Yeah. So some I frequently see, and they're often miserable. Some are miserable. Some are very tired of it. Some realize that they're involved, and that's what a spouse does. They're involved in the success of their partner and often instrumental to it. So, you know, I see that a lot too. But for the most part, I don't see them. I don't really see a lot of spouses. It's mostly the magician and maybe his magician friend. Not a lot of female magicians, as you know. Right. So mostly kind of an island unto myself where I'm finding someone that I know is a good person and I'm sitting with them and enjoying the show with them. And often I'm a foil to that. Like if George happens to be before me, I'm in the audience. So there's nothing for me to do. Or he's giving a speech and I don't have to be backstage or something like that. Then I'll be in the audience by myself sometimes. So if, you know, often a magician will say, and this is my wife, my spouse. And I'll say, oh, okay, it's nice to meet you. And maybe if we're both like of the same age and have that same sort of like, oh, well, here we go, let's strap ourselves in sort of jocularity about it, then we'll get on famously. But for the most part, that's a rare thing. You're not, someone doesn't have that kind of wink, wink about it. They're just kind of like, I was promised dinner after this or something. Kind of like have that sort of... But I normally just don't see them. So if there is someone there, I also don't presume that that's what they're about mm-hmm. either, because the female magician could be performing yeah. or could be introducing one of the officers of the club, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. So I'm not going to assume that you are, in air quotes, just a spouse. Yeah. I never make that assumption. Yeah. I feel that they're
people often make that assumption about you
all the time. All, yeah. all many assumptions yeah. about all different types of things. Oh, you must know all of his secrets. Mm-hmm. Just everything. Oh, how does he do everything? Do you get tired of this? Does he cut you in half? All this stuff.
What do magicians make about you as a magician spouse?
That I want to be an assistant.
Got it.
Definitely, that's big. That I'm actually part of his act mm-hmm. because I'm there and I'm not just going to support him or to enjoy myself, whatever the case may be with the show. Like, yeah, I would buy a ticket for this. Not just because I'm married into it. This sounds amazing. Yeah. But they made that assumption that I'm just there representing almost yeah. George. That's kind of definitely a big part. I'm sort of like an ambassador to George. How is he doing? And then sort of more about that sort of thing as opposed to how are you doing? All right. You know, whatever. Definitely a lot of that. I had, I guess one of the things that was very interesting was I went to a lecture. Well, actually, she's an officer in the SAM. She's like a regional officer, I think. I don't recall her name.
Sarah Crasson.
Maybe. She does
but
the...
But confirmed it as Sarah Crasson.
She's a lawyer.
Yep, Sarah Crasson.
And she was giving a wonderful... I was excited for it. Yeah. She was giving a wonderful lecture about property rights, intellectual rights, how to protect or what it really means to copyright something and how that pertains to magic. So I have a bit of experience with copyright and fair use from the journalism side of things. So here she was going to take that knowledge and throw it against the backdrop of performing and magic. Interesting. But George and I, the first ones that show up, and people start coming up to me and saying, oh, I'm so excited for your lecture.
Great.
And I say, me too. What are we lectured on? And I, you know, throw some zingers in there, but they just assumed because here I am, a woman, and there's never any women around. Therefore, I must be the woman. And I was like, oh, well, I'm curious to see what this lady looks like
yes.
because we must look somewhat similarly, but it would be even funnier if we didn't. But we are both brunettes and not too young, I guess you would say. So, but not old. So we're right in the middle there. And I would always wear a dress and she wore a dress to lecture. So we kind of, I could have been her stunt double, I suppose, but not really. You'd have to give it a squint. But it would have been funny if she was like towered over me and me being a white person, if she was a person of color, would have been just like, why didn't you bother to look up this lady?
That's a funny thing. Received a note from an unnamed source that you have lectured almost as much as your husband has.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I was George's club asked me to lecture on the topic of marketing, public relations, media relations, and to kind of throw the timeless knowledge against the backdrop of how a magician or entertainer might use their talents to their advantage and get more publicity. Because famously, Houdini played off the press to get them to witness, and it mm-hmm. became public spectacle that mm-hmm. created its own publicity. So could magicians these days do that was a question that the lecture asked. But also, here, guys, here's how to equip yourself with basic social media skills.
Yeah.
So I went the whole gamut of what is a press release and why would you want to send one, to look at this history of what magicians in the past have done. And other magicians said, I used to do that. I used to go out in the, you know, highway median and cut my assistant in half. And it was quite a mesmerizing event that previewed, and people yeah. would give little stories about how they previewed or pitched from being like a barker for their own show, kind of incorporating those things. So
yeah.
I took all that and created a lecture and gave it. And I think I gave away 2 lecture notes, so it was awesome.
Well done. That's
great. So I'm just famous, aren't I? Oh, I sold them? Oh, he tells me, I sold. Where'd that money go? Anyway.
Amazing. Okay, cool. So this has been awesome. We
thank you.
All of our interviews with a lightning round.
All right, here we go.
So I'm just going to ask you a bunch of questions.
Mm-hmm.
You can, the idea of the lightning round, obviously,
mm-hmm.
is that they're quick answers.
Here we go.
So you're welcome to answer them as short as a single word or as long as Max Maven. So, which is what we say to everyone, because that was genuinely 3 hours worth of content.
Oh, my.
I love Max. Max, you're fantastic. Okay.
But get better snacks.
Max, get better snacks. I will tell him that. Okay, here we go. Lightning round. favorite style of magic?
I would say like a romp, like a madcap sort of comedy. Cool. Definitely. Old timey, even something throwback, something that incorporates a vintage retro element to it.
Amazing. Biggest magic pet peeve?
When you don't know what you're doing. And you're like, I didn't bother to create what I'm saying to the audience in this point. I just love this trick, so I'm going to perform it. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit me. I don't have a mastery of it, or I don't know how to save myself if it's going horribly wrong. All those, that's just, you didn't prepare. And also things that are, you don't, you know, you, I do appreciate things that are throwback, but you can't be racist. I don't think that's like a, you know, elevates a pet peeve, but no, don't be racist. Don't be misogynistic. Don't be that prejudiced person and oblivious to it.
Yeah. Just don't even go there.
Right.
It's not worth it. Amazing. That's awesome. What's the worst trick a magician has used to try to impress you? I'm pulling this from your comment on Abracadabra that says, essay of national convention so far, no one has asked the last trick. What is like the worst
thing? I mean, if I'm bombarded by different people asking me to pick a card for just because we're standing around talking, like I didn't think that was happening right now. I thought I was waiting for an elevator. Mm-hmm. You know, those sort of moments are just, I'm like, ugh, you know, no thank you. So, all right. Okay, great. I'm not into it, dude. But yeah, five of hearts.
But yeah, all right, five of hearts. Perfect. Yep,
definitely.
Just little time.
Yep. I don't want to be when I'm obviously a vessel for your ego or practicing. I don't really like that.
Love
that. Yeah.
I love that. That's an amazing sentence. When I'm mm-hmm. a vessel for your yeah. ego. I want that on a t-shirt.
No.
I'm
no.
for your ego.
Right.
Freaking
right.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Boom. What's one word to describe being the spouse of a magician?
One word. You have to be patient. You have to be patient. I would say that is very important. Patient, because when is this going to get interesting in this lecture? I'm patient. When is it going to end? But also you can't, you have, yes. And often it might be the person you love, your spouse, performing this trick and trying it and you're hating it, or you just want to finish eating your cereal, or, hey, I was doing something. So if you just take a moment and say, well, this is his practice and I have to be patient with this person because I love them. I would say there's a lot of patience for the example I described earlier, where I don't know if this thing lying around, if it's something I have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
You have patience for that too.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The organization we're from, is it called Veterans Hope?
Yes, Hope for Veterans, Community Hope. Mm-hmm.
Hope for Veterans. Yep. Is that a thing that people can donate to?
Yes. If you go to our website, which is communityhope-nj.org for New Jersey, NJ, you will see they have prominently placed donate buttons there. And that goes to support veteran households in a variety of ways. So our mission is to find veterans who are homeless. So the household too. So whether it be their spouse or their roommate or their roommate's children, whatever the household looks like, there might be additional needs beyond the housing. And all of our fundraising takes care of additional needs that they might request. So whether it be relocation expenses because they're homeless, they need someplace to go. Donations are tremendous.
Amazing.
Yes.
And Abracablabra.
Yeah.
In the show
thank
notes.
You so much.
Of course. Thank you. This was amazing.
All right.
Really appreciate it.
Woohoo!
Hey. And Shazam scene. Out. Scene.
Shazam is sponsored in part by the Society of American Magicians. Thank you, SAM. Go join a club.